Welcome to Trailer Blazers, the podcast that made fun of the Cats movie before it was cool. Two mans is one way. Make fun of cats.
I am one of those mans. My name is Nick.
And I am Ben, another one of the manses. I tell you what, the Force is with me and I'm one with the Force.
Yeah, you got your Star Wars fixin' already, and I haven't seen it yet.
Nick, I'm living my best Star Wars life now. I'm going to tell you that. Let me just tell you that.
You've seen every piece of Star Wars video detail that exists.
I have seen every Star Warses. I've seen all the Star Warses up to date. I am up to date on The Mandalorian, also known as the Baby Yoda Saga, if we're being honest.
I want to see the baby.
I shared a meme that I just thought was perfect. I didn't make it up, but it's what's the guy?
Werner Herzog.
Yeah, Werner Herzog saying,
"I would like to see the baby."
And it's just every episode, that's all we want.
He represented the fan base.
Nick, how are we supposed to go through Christmas with our baby in danger?
I don't know. If you haven't watched the most recent episode, you probably should, because everything gets real quick.
I would say the stakes are high. Nick, would you say the stakes are high?
They couldn't be higher.
Oh my gosh. If you're not, go ahead and just get that Disney Plus, guys, and watch that Mandalorian, because it's real good. Now, Nick, I saw Rise of Skywalker.
You did.
Before I give you my opinion, I'm getting to the point. No, I'm at the point, Nick, where I am going to take a break. I'm going to take a step back from the social media, not Instagram, but I'm going to take a break from the rest of social media because the opinions are coming in real strong in every direction.
So you're not a fan of the Facebook hot take factory?
I'm really not. It's basically worthless. If you don't like something, that's fine. If other people like it, that's fine too. I get sort of tired of the endless stream of maybe it's negativity. Actually, you know what it is? I know what it is. Every time I take a step back from social media, it's because everywhere I look, it's just a bunch of self-righteous people. Like, everybody's the moral authority. Everybody's has their most rightest opinion. And it gets all, and it's not just with Star Wars, with just the news and everything else. And so I'm taking a step back again. I mean, it hadn't even been a month since I've been back, but here I am again. So, but not Instagram. You'll see me on Instagram. You can message me on Instagram. I will answer you.
Besides, people should just realize that my opinion is the correct one and they should just do what I say. And then everyone will be happy.
That's right. If you were Professor X, you could do that.
Or if I was, like, friends with Emma Frost, I think she'd be more on board for that kind of maneuver. I just want to point out at the beginning, I haven't seen Rise of Skywalker, so no one has to be worried about any spoilers in this episode.
That's right, and I will never give you spoilers. I'll give you reactions. I will never give you spoilers.
This week I watched a couple different movies, and I watched an entire 8-episode TV series in one sitting.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, I watched Mary, Queen of Scots with Saoirse Ronan and Margot Robbie. The editing was and the pacing was really strange. They probably would have benefited from just choosing a time period in her life and making a movie specifically about that, like how Spielberg did Lincoln. But instead, they chose to cover her entire lifespan with a series of bizarre cuts, and I didn't care for that movie, so I don't recommend that one. I watched The Conjuring 2. I like The Conjuring 1. It's a good ghost movie. This one was alright. It wasn't as good as the first one. There was a weird... It took place in the 70s, which was kind of cool, but there was this weird thing where someone was whistling, and it was the I Love You Barney theme, you know? And I was like, is this... What? I was like, is that from some other song? Is this like an old English song? And now I can't find out. I have been trying to Google it and I can't find it. So that's the mission I'm on.
Is it more ghosty and less horror-y?
The Conjuring? Yeah. The first one was sort of like a possession type movie. And this one had an element of that, but they're more haunted house movies than they are. Because they're based on people who were paranormal investigators.
Hey, what was that ghosty haunted house movie with Michael J. Fox back in the day?
The Frighteners?
The Frighteners, that's it, yes. Did you like that movie? Yeah.
I don't. Jess really likes that movie. She references it all the time. I didn't like it.
I remember liking it back in the day and just and being surprised that I liked it.
I haven't seen it in I bet the last time I saw it was so long ago that I don't know if my opinion still counts, because I change my mind a lot, and I don't know. My opinion probably has expired on that particular movie.
Well, mine probably has too. It's probably been about 20 years. And then so you watched that, and then there's two other what are the other things you watched?
I watched Bumblebee, the Transformers spinoff. It was more of a reboot.
Yeah, I saw it on a plane. I watched it on a plane, and it seems like almost like a prequel, and I thought the tone was going to be like a lot different, but I found it to be just like, well, this is still kind of the same Transformers.
Yeah, that's what my take. Like, I was barely paying attention, because I had it on and I was like on Instagram. And if I watch a movie and I'm into it, I never look at my phone. And this, I spent a good deal of time on my phone.
The main actress in this that's Bumblebee's pal,
Haley Steinfeld.
Yeah, she's in something else.
She's in True Grit. She's the girl that hires Jeff Bridges' Rooster Cogburn, and she's going to be Kate Bishop in the Hawkeye TV show.
That's it, Kate Bishop. That's what I was thinking she was going to be in. Yeah. Okay. I thought she was good.
Yeah, she was good. I don't know. I liked Beast Wars Transformers more than the original one, so I'm a little young for the original Transformers. So the Beast Wars one was more in my time frame.
I never saw the original movies, like the animated movies, and we couldn't really afford Transformers back in the day, so I didn't have a whole lot of them, so I don't have like this giant nostalgia for it.
Same. Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, I'm Beast Wars, yeah, I had a bunch of those, but I didn't have, because they made the little ones that were cheaper, and I didn't have a lot of like the old car ones. But I tell you what I did enjoy was The Witcher, and I never looked at my phone. I'm pretty sure through the 8 hours, I might have glanced at it twice, and that is 8 hours of rapt attention.
I'm impressed that you did it all at once. I mean, that is a dedicated move there.
I had to. I was so excited about it for so long, and it's one of the close. It's an adaptation of The Last Wish and some of the other short stories, but it's one of the closest adaptations. It was like Good Omens on Amazon, where it's like almost a perfect adaptation from the source material, to the point where I knew sometimes what they were going to say or do, and I was like, oh, I can't wait, he's going to say this, and then he would do it, and like, he walks into a town at the beginning, I was like, it's Blaviken, because it looked like how I thought Blaviken would look.
That's incredible. I love that that you've read the books, played the games, and you loved it. So that is such a good sign, I think.
You can tell that Henry Cavill loves the games, because he's giving you stuff from the games, because it's based primarily on the source material. And the guy who... I'm not a huge fan of the guy who wrote the books. He's kind of like full of himself, and he's not really a big fan of the games, because he didn't write them. But The Witcher 3 is my favorite game ever made. And Henry Cavill, apparently, it's his too, because he was slipping in all these things from the games. Like, his voice is basically the voice from the games. When he would meditate, he was sitting exactly like how you sit in the game.
Oh, interesting. It's just
very good.
I cannot wait. Me and Aaron and I are going to watch it. When things slow down, it's like before the holidays, gosh, it's just like we can't catch a break or find a break. Well, that's great. Well, I'm looking forward to that. so also on Netflix was the movie Six Underground that came out. Ryan Reynolds, this is a Michael Bay flick. And boy, does it feel like a Michael Bay flick. So you know what you're getting into when you start watching it. But I got to say, man, the opening scene of that movie, it's like a chase. It's bonkers. It's wild. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like that in film. I would say just expect it. It's intense. It's very R-rated, I'll say that. Some of the stuff is definitely worth watching. Even if you don't watch the whole movie, just watch that opening chase scene, because it is crazy.
I think I'm going to check that movie out based on some conversations I had in the Movie Crush Facebook group. I want to see it at least, but I'm wondering, does it have the thing that most Michael Bay movies have, where it cuts to like a random reaction and it's always like super cheeseball?
I don't remember that, but it has the gratuitous, like, girl in a bikini walking and you're behind her at, like, waist level. And I'm just like, are we still doing this? Like, really, we're still doing this, Michael Bay?
Yeah, it's 1975 for Michael Bay still.
Yeah, Michael Bay still is 15 years old, I think, when he decides what to do in movies. But there are some interesting ideas that are not scientifically plausible, but they make for some great action scenes. So I would say suspend your belief a little bit as you watch this movie. So one of the actresses in this movie, Adria Arjona, I'm guessing I'm saying that right, is... I'll just say this. I have a huge crush on her. Huge crush. Like, she's probably in my top three actresses right now. She's just...
I'm not familiar with this actress.
I wasn't either. I'd never seen her in anything, but she's stunningly beautiful. Let's just put it that way.
Well, I'll probably check this movie out and see if I can see how much time I spend on my phone.
Yeah, this might be a good movie to look at your phone to. And then the action scenes, you'll probably turn the phone off because... We all know what Michael Bay is about, but there are some things that he does in movies that are almost jaw-dropping. This movie dropped my jaw a couple of times. I was like, wow. Yeah, it's I'd say look at your phone to it. That'd be good.
What did you do to prepare for Rise of Skywalker?
So I actually did. I didn't have time to go through all of the films beforehand. So I just watched The Last Jedi. And the Rise of Skywalker is turning in to be just about as controversial as The Last Jedi, I think. Despite what everybody has to say, good or bad, about The Last Jedi, I really liked it. It's a brownie with nuts. The brownie would be better without the nuts, yeah. But it's still a delicious brownie. I'm still going to eat it, despite the nuts, and I'm going to enjoy myself. So there's a lot. I have a lot to say about The Last Jedi, and that's for a different podcast at a different time if we ever want to do that. But The Rise of Skywalker, I won't be spoilery at all for you, but I'll say a couple of things about it. It will answer a lot of your questions. It will wrap a lot of things up. It looks great. I'm just trying not to be spoilery at all. Oh, I know what I want to say. People make a big deal about fan service. I disagree with even some of my friends about this, that they say The Rise of Skywalker, the fan service, is too much. It's too heavy. I actually thought the fan service was very, very subtle. I don't know why. We're just going to disagree on that. That's fine. Whatever. But there is fan service in the movie, if you're looking for that. It feels Star Wars-y to me. I was satisfied with where they took the story. Okay, that's all I'll say about that. I was very satisfied with it. And, where they go from here, I don't know. I don't know if they're planning on doing, like, Old Republic stuff or whatnot. Who knows? But I'll say this. If they left this as the end of this, like, time period within that universe, I'd be totally fine with that.
Well, I'll get back to you when I'm able to see it. It might be a while, and there's almost no chance I'll make it all the way there without some sort of spoiler, though I've made it 2 days, which to me seems pretty good. I'll chalk some of that up to the 8 hours I spent watching The Witcher last night.
Yeah, I just would stay off the internet. I mean, that's all you can do, is stay off the internet. So then I actually also finished all of the Imagineering story on Disney Plus, which is a documentary series about the Imagineers and just the building of the parks and the buying up of different properties and that sort of thing. Like IPs, I mean. Excellent, excellent documentary series. I loved every second of it. It was super interesting, flowed really great. So I would definitely recommend watching the Imagineering story. It's probably one of the best things on Disney Plus right now.
I have a hard time starting documentaries, but I enjoy them when I start them. It's a weird phenomenon that I have.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, I have a hard time. Like, if I see a list of things, I'll be like, I don't really want to watch a documentary. But there are ones that I watch and then I get super into them.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same way. You kind of almost have to be in the right mood for it. Yeah. Nick, speaking of phenomena, truly a phenomena has been released upon us. The movie Cats was released in theaters.
Cats is released in theaters and the reviews are pouring out. And the reviews themselves are a new form of art.
That I couldn't have said it better myself, my friend. And so we have collected some of our favorite bits of these reviews, and we're just going to read them to you because this is just so great.
Yeah, you read the first one because the second one's my favorite, so I want to read that one.
Okay. All right. What has for decades been something of a pop culture joke is now an even more wackadoo entertainment event. It's almost as if Hooper and company were tasked with making the worst movie they could conceive of, that is, one epic troll that could be the nicest thing I could say about it, that they have achieved something. And that was Tyler Coates of Wired.
All right, the second one is my favorite on the list, and it's, is Cats, like, a secret metaphor for something? Why can't I figure out what it is? And that is from Alyssa Wilkinson from Vox, and you are very funny.
Oh my gosh, her whole, if you get a chance, go read Alyssa's review, because it is just, it's so good. That was like the first review that I actually read the whole way through, and I was just like, that was perfect. All right, so this one is from Angie Hahn of Mashable. Cats is a 110-minute exercise in disbelieving your own eyes, in feeling yourself becoming gradually unmoored from basic concepts like time and space and reality. Have you ever wondered what it feels like to try and gaslight yourself? Watch Cats, and you might get a taste. So good.
All right. For the most part, Cats is both a horror and an endurance test. A dispatch from some neon-drenched netherworld where the ghastly is inextricable from the tedious. And that's Justin Chang from LA Times.
Oh my god. Nick, did we call this?
Yeah, we were on... I think it was pretty clear that this ship was sailing into an iceberg when they launched it, but we got on there early.
I wish I could recommend Cats as some kind of so-bad-it's-good style guilty pleasure, but honestly, it's just bad. I would rather sit here and lick my own butthole than ever hear the words Jellicle Choice or Heaviside Layer again, or see Idris Elba's toned torso covered in CGI hair. And that was Alistair Duncan of Pedestrian.
Oh, that's so good. You read the next one because I want to read the last
one. Okay. This uneven eyesore turns out to be every bit the Jellicle catastrophe the haters anticipated, a half-digested hairball of a movie. That was Peter DeBruge of Variety, and we did anticipate this, Nick.
Yep. And finally, my favorite movie website is Slash Film. I don't always agree with them, but they can be very funny in their reviews. So the title of their review is "There's no good or bad, only cats." And my favorite quote was another new sequence with Taylor Swift's flirty Bombolerina. I don't know how to say this cat name. Wearing kitten heels involves some catnip-induced writhing that rivals the drug-induced hysteria of Gaspar Noel's climax. Maybe Hooper is secretly making a horror movie. There is a certain horror that comes from making Oscar-nominated legend Ian McKellen purr meow meow and lick milk from a bowl. And that was from Huai Tran Bui from Slash Film.
When Ian McKellen signed on for this, did he know he was going to be licking milk from a bowl that was like at chin height or something?
I mean, he's a big theater guy, so he's got to be familiar with Cats. And Judi Dench, there was a line in Huai Tran's review that said, Judi Dench, Dench, whose presence here is perhaps the most inexplicable.
It really is. This I don't even know. I mean, I'm never going to see this, but these reviews gave me life.
These reviews are worth the movie existing.
Yes, I think you're exactly right there.
Yeah, it became like an exercise in humor writing. Like, people were using the best adjectives they could think of for all of this stuff. It's just brilliant.
All right, Nick, it is time for the questions times. All right, so the questions times. Now, the first question is, what two movie franchises would you like to combine for a movie?
I'm not normally a fan of such things, but then I was like, with this question, I can be absurd about it. And so the one that I landed on was Space Jam and Hoosiers.
Explain this to me.
Okay, so have you seen Hoosiers?
Yes.
Okay, so it's the movie Hoosiers, in my mind. It's the movie Hoosiers, only Jimmy Chitwood is just Bugs Bunny. So, like, Gene Hackman comes and, like, Bugs Bunny's in Indiana and he's real good at basketball and nothing else has changed, and it's never brought up that he's Bugs Bunny, but he's Bugs Bunny.
That's pretty great. That's I think that could work.
Either that or the Hoosiers have to just play against the Monstars at the end. That would be good too.
That would be good. All right, so I have always thought that G.I. Joe and Transformers. Here we are back again at Transformers. But those two together would always be a nice fit. And that's not a really original idea. I think maybe even the comic books had that, right?
I didn't know there were comic books, but it sounds like something that would exist.
Well, in my, you know, I'm not from this particular reality. I'm from a different parallel dimension. But in my parallel dimension, there is a comic book that is Transformers and G.I. Joe.
It seems like that would be like a movie where it was a kid playing with their toys on the floor, and then they made it into a movie. Because, like, if you're a kid playing with your toys, I'm sure your G.I. Joes ended up fighting against your Transformers at some point.
All right, Nick, what movie would you change to have the tone or elements from a different movie?
I had a hard time with this one, but the movie that I disliked the tone the most of was the movie Hancock with Will Smith.
Okay.
I went in there expecting, like, more of a comedy, I guess, and it started out that way. It started out the way that I thought it was, but as soon as there was a twist where Charlize Theron was, like, also a superhero, it turned into a totally different movie, and it was really weird. And I don't know which movie I would combine it with or steal the tone from. I just know that the one they chose was incorrect.
That was kind of where I landed. The movie, do you remember the movie Helsing?
Yes.
With Wolverine?
Hugh Jackman?
Yes.
Yeah.
So in that movie, I can't stand that movie because it I don't know what it was. Was it a melodrama? Was it a serious movie? Was it a comedy? Like, I don't know.
I have a lot to say, and it goes into the next Question Times segment. So I'm going to hold off commenting on that.
Okay.
Well, we can just go into it. So my Question Times question that I asked was, what's the stupidest movie that you actually like unironically? And I love Van Helsing. It is a stupid movie, and it is great. And the tone that it is like a James Bond movie from the Roger Moore era, only instead of being like modern day spy stuff, it's in what era is that, like 1800s, 1700s, and he's like a monster agent for the church, and they send him out to fight monsters, and he has like all these gadgets and stuff. So it reminds me of a James Bond Roger Moore movie, but set against classic Universal monsters.
See, I wonder if I had known that going into it, maybe I would have liked it better.
See, the thing that I usually hear from people is that they wanted it to be more of a horror movie, which doesn't make sense for you. So you must have come at it from an entirely different angle than the rest of them.
Maybe so. I almost wish it was more tonally like maybe Hellboy. I mean, is this the Hellboy podcast? Because I feel like we talk about Hellboy every single podcast.
I mean, most of my life is spent thinking about Hellboy in some way or another. So that makes sense.
Well, if you're talking about the stupidest movie that I like, it's probably going to be House Guest with Sinbad.
I remember that movie, but I don't know if I've ever seen it.
It's just a cheap comedy movie with Sinbad, and I think it's hilarious. My whole family thinks it's hilarious. We quote it all the time, and it's just one of those movies that it's kind of like Coneheads. Like, Coneheads is really quotable, and it's stupid, but we like it.
Oh, I like a lot of, like, have you ever seen Hot Rod with Andy Samberg?
I haven't, but that's like a cult classic.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite. I am deeply within that cult. I drank the Kool-Aid. That is one of my favorite comedies ever made, and there is no question that it is stupid. It is stupid from the moment it starts until it ends, but I love it.
I'll have to go back and check that out. I wonder if it's streaming anywhere.
Hot Rod is streaming somewhere. I don't remember where, though.
I'll tell you what's not streaming, Spectre.
No, it's really irritating because I want to... They released a 5-pack 4K Blu-ray of the, or a 4-pack of the Daniel Craig Bond movies, but they're only making one more Daniel Craig Bond movie. So why would I not just wait for that 5-pack?
That's like buying the first two Lord of the Rings movies in a pack.
Yeah, and then buying the next one and setting it next to it. No, on the shelf. No, thank you.
No, thanks.
No.
All right, Nick, let's talk about those new trailers. We actually have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we were wrong last week when we said we weren't going to have any.
Yeah, we really were wrong. Man, there were some heavy hitters here. There's actually only a couple of things that I liked, but I really liked the things that I liked.
Yeah, there's a couple that I was so-so on, and then, yeah, there's a couple that I'm super into. And let's just start off with the one that we're both super into, and that's Top Gun Maverick.
Yes, yes, yes. And yes, I cannot wait for this. First of all, I just learned yesterday that the director of this movie is the same guy who directed Tron Legacy, one of my top five movies of all time.
Tron Legacy is a great movie, and that gives me a lot of hope for Top Gun Maverick.
Nick, we've got planes. We've got very aggressive maneuvers. We've got beach volleyball shirtless. We've got fighting in the briefing room. I mean, it's got it all.
We are free of the influence of Tony Scott. May he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace.
I don't care for Tony Scott movies most of the time. He's got a weird aesthetic that I don't really like. But this is one of those times where I feel like the sequel is going to be better than the original.
We have Jennifer Connelly. I did not know she was in this movie.
She's great.
I like Jennifer Connelly.
I didn't know she was in it either.
Yeah. Now, we originally liked her, well, first of all, in Labyrinth, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But really where I began to really like her, one of my top five movies of all time, The Rocketeer.
That was not too long after Labyrinth. That was like, what, 6 years after Labyrinth?
Really? I guess you're right, yeah.
Labyrinth was 86 and Rocketeer's 91. Things I just know off the top of my head.
There you go. Now, I actually watched a YouTube video about a pilot breaking down that trailer, and he was saying that these maneuvers that they were doing are extremely close. Like, the planes are extremely close, like, closer than they do in normal maneuvering. They were maneuvering very aggressively. So I think they pulled out all the stops for the actual, because all these shots are real planes.
And Tom Cruise was really flying. I mean, not always. I think he did a lot of sitting in there. But,
right. You know. But, I mean, he can fly. I think he has his pilot's license, right?
Mm-hmm. He got a lot of airtime in this movie.
Yeah, respect that. So we are super duper excited about Top Gun Maverick. I don't know what... I mean, both trailers have been really great.
We got John Hamm. We got Val Kilmer back.
I didn't even see... Is he in the trailer?
He's not in the trailer, but he's in the IMDb credit list. Ed Harris.
Just as an aside, Val Kilmer does some of the best AMAs on Reddit.
Does he?
They're so great.
Val Kilmer used to be pretty awesome, but I think he's one of those guys that got a reputation of sort of being hard to work with, so he sort of disappeared for a while.
Did you ever see The Island of Dr. Moreau?
Yes, I did.
That is a weird movie.
It reminds me a lot of Cats.
Yes. So next we have a trailer for Emma. This is actually the second trailer for Emma, and I think it was a much better trailer than the first one.
Yeah, the reason that I wanted to talk about this one is because when we talked about the first trailer, we were wondering if the second trailer would give us an idea where the plot was, or if maybe we were just too stupid to understand Jane Austen's stories. But this one did, I felt like I got a feel for the plot from this one.
I did too. I still don't know that I'm going to see it. I might watch it with Aaron when it comes out streaming.
Yeah, you and I might not be the target demographic for this movie, but I think it looks pretty well made.
It does look well made. The quality and the sets and everything, costumes, it looks all very top notch.
And it's got a really good cast. I've liked Anya Taylor-Joy because The Witch is one of my favorite. It's one of the only horror movies that I like. And Bill Nighy is great. That's all the farther I need to even go. It's got those two in it.
Yeah, I mean, I this trailer just made me want to see more of Bill Nighy.
Yep, so this one we get a better idea of what's going on, so a revisit from a previous episode that was worth checking out.
Yep. Next we have The Wave. This is the second trailer for The Wave, and we have Mac in here, or the guy that played the Mac computer in the old commercials.
Yep, that was Justin Long, and the PC was John Hodgman, who is pretty much the guru of my life.
So this trailer is very much, well, you know what it reminded me of was Dread, because we have this drug that they do a weird filter thing or weird effect on the footage to tell you this guy's on a drug. He's on this drug, just like Dread. And it's very colorful, and I feel like you got a pretty good idea of the movie from the trailer.
Yeah, this one, the first trailer, when we talked about it, we shredded it pretty good because we didn't know what was going on and had no semblance of the plot at all. But this was a lot clearer. It made it look a lot more interesting, I thought. It's still not, like, I'm not super into it, but, like, Donald Faison is in it, so I wanted to at least do a little well because I like him.
Yeah, this and another movie that we're going to talk about are movies where there's stuff happening on screen and you don't know if it's real life or if it's going on in their head or whatever.
So this was another one where the second trailer was better than the first one.
Yeah,
I'm still not super into the movie, but meh.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm not going to see this in theater, but whatever. Next up, we have The Sonata.
This was not what I thought it was going to be when I clicked it.
Boy, it was not either for me. Do you want to give us sort of a breakdown of what this is?
Yeah, so there's this tone or musical piece that when you play it, it's sort of like a demon summoning thing.
Yeah, it's this girl finds this dead man's book that has this music that he's written, and there's these symbols on it. And those symbols are like, she's like, doesn't recognize them. So she starts inquiring about them. And then in the trailer, they reveal to you that if you play these certain sequences at the right tones and melodies or whatever, that it will summon. And then I was thinking, oh, when they said, okay, if you play all these things perfectly, it will. And I was like, oh, it's going to be like mind control, or, oh, it's going to do something magical or something, you know, it's going to be fantastical. And then they go, summon the Antichrist.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I'm not as interested now.
There's a better version of this, and it's in a podcast called Tannis, which 100% not planned. I'm actually wearing a t-shirt of that podcast right now. There's this podcast called Tannis, and it's like a mysterious sort of supernatural science fiction podcast, like narrative fictional podcast, and there's something in it similar to this where there's this music, I can't remember what it's called in the podcast, but there's this very similar thing. It doesn't do an Antichrist thing, though. It's some sort of more Lovecraftian elder god thing, but they're not even sure if it's that. It's a very good podcast, and it looks like a better version of this story than The Sonata, which I don't think I'll see this.
I don't either. It looks very horror-esque. I was just for a split second thinking, oh, this might be sort of like an Indiana Jones type of thing. Maybe that's kind of the direction they're going, and I wish it was. That would be kind of cool, but it's not.
Yeah, when I first clicked on it, I thought it was going to be like a dramatic movie about classical music.
It's Mr. Holland's Opus.
Yeah, something like that. I wasn't expecting an Antichrist movie.
Mr. Holland summons the devil. Next, we have a trailer for it's actually the second trailer for the movie Onward, which is a Pixar movie.
Yep, this is Pixar. It's Tom Holland and Chris Pratt, and they're like summoning their dad or something for one day he can hang out with them. I think he had died or something, and they're summoning him back with some magic spell. But it breaks halfway through, and he's like a pair of legs. So they're trying to get the rest of them to apparate.
As much as they keep showing me this trailer, I have no interest in seeing this movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll probably watch it at some point just to see, but I don't know.
And you would think it's like in a fantasy world, almost like a Dungeons and Dragons type of world almost, that it would be interesting. I don't know. It just doesn't look compelling to me.
Yeah, something about it isn't grabbing me either. Although I did think this trailer looked better than the first trailer they released again. So we're getting these trailer twos that are a little better.
So we'll see. We'll see how the audience at large reacts or goes to, you know, if they go to see it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we have a trailer for a comedy special, John Mulaney and the Sack Lunch Bunch.
Yep. John Mulaney is one of the only stand-up comedians that I like. I'm not a stand-up guy. I don't seek out stand-up comedy. It takes a lot to get me to watch it. John Mulaney is hilarious.
So I don't know that this comedy special gave a great idea of what this is about.
I think it's supposed to be like one of those old, you know, those old-fashioned like children's specials that they would make, like a variety show almost.
I don't know that I'm actually familiar with those.
John Mulaney has a very old-timey sense of humor. So to me, him making a 1950s, 1940s-esque special like this is very much in line with his brand.
I do think he is funny. I've watched his stand-up, and he is he knows a lot of comedians. I think he's actually friends with, is it Conan O'Brien that he's friends with?
Yep. He actually, I think part of the reason he got into comedy was because of Conan.
Yeah, I'll probably check this out. I like to laugh. I mean, I'd like to have a good time.
Yeah, Mulaney's great. I'll always watch a Mulaney special. He's hilarious. I love him.
Next, we have another sort of, well, it's a movie that's called Saint Maud, yep. And it felt sort of like the Sonata to me.
Yeah, this is an A24 movie, so it'll probably be highly reviewed amongst horror people because I feel like they spend more time writing and making their movies than a lot of other horror movie makers. The main thing about this is that I think Morvid Clark is becoming sort of one of those people who pops up and is suddenly in everything.
Who?
Morvid Clark. She's got one of those Celtic names that it's hard for people to... It's M-O-R-F-Y-D-D, which in that parlance is pronounced Morvid. And she was one of the nurses in His Dark Materials. She's the main girl in this. She's in that alligator movie Crawl. She's in Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. She's just like all this stuff. She's in that Dracula show that we talked about the trailer. She's Mina Harker in that. She's going to be Galadriel in the Amazon Lord of the Rings series.
Oh, yeah. They just cast her, didn't they?
Yep. She came out of nowhere and now she's in everything.
Yeah, there's a couple people like that, aren't there?
Yeah, she's going to be like Saoirse Ronan, where people can't pronounce the name unless they're familiar with these weird Gaelic-sounding names.
Next, we have a movie, A Quiet Place 2. This is really a teaser. Really a teaser.
This is the teasiest of teasers, because it's just a 15-second-long trailer of Emily Blunt and those two kids walking.
Yep, walking on the sand like you've seen them before, and that's it. I mean, nothing else. So it's just... They could have literally just put up the logo of the movie on screen. It would have been the same thing.
The only thing that I got from it is that it can't take place too much later than the first one because she's got bandage on her foot still from the nail. So it must be almost pick up right after the first one.
Next, we have a trailer for Buffaloed.
Yeah, I didn't like this one.
This is a story about a girl who's a hustler and... She gets, accepted into some kind of college, but they can't afford it. And so she's going to do more hustling, but she finds a job at a debt collection agency. And it is the type of debt collection agency that you imagine in your mind where it's like real kind of dark and people mm-hmm. are wearing like green see-through visors and like on money machines. And like, you know, we're going to get these guys, you know, we're going to get our money here.
I didn't like the tone of this trailer. It reminded me of that Greed trailer we watched last week where I was like, is this a comedy or... Zoe Deutsch is a good actor, so she's leading it. That's all I can say, though. Judy Greer's in it.
Yeah, it looks like it's probably pretty well done. It's just not my type of movie, so I don't know that I'll see it.
It seemed a little too manic for me.
Yeah, and then they put like these like curse words on the screen, and it's just like... We're, you know, I don't know. Yeah. All right, next we have a movie called The Woman in the Window. And so when I mentioned earlier that we have movies where you don't know if it's really happening or if it's in the character's head, this is that type of movie.
Yeah, this has got Amy Adams, who's one of the best out there in the entire universe of actors.
This time she plays an agoraphobic woman.
Sort of a shut-in, yeah.
Yeah, and she has mental issues, so you obviously know that I'm probably not going to see this or like it. I don't like movies where you don't know if what's happening is real or not. It's just, I don't like that guessing game. It's just not interesting to me. So, but that's what this movie is, I think.
It looked kind of like Rear Window, the Hitchcock movie, but like mixed with Gaslight or something.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're exactly right. I probably won't see this, but Amy Adams is good. I mean, we do know that.
Yeah, Amy Adams is good. It's got Gary Oldman in it. Anthony Mackie's in it at some point. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll watch this when it's on HBO. But I won't go... Well, I don't go to the theater, really, anymore.
Next, we have the other movie that I'm most excited about on this list, and this is Christopher Nolan's next film, Tenet.
This was hard to get an idea of what was going on, but I think that's by design for Chris Nolan movies.
Absolutely, 100% agree. He gives you bits and pieces of what... This trailer reminded me very much of his other movie, Bwah.
Inception?
Yes, Inception. So it's like, before you saw Inception, you were like, I don't really know what this movie is about. Like, I don't really know the inner workings or where this is going to go, but I know it's Christopher Nolan. I know the premise is interesting. In this movie, it's like people can see what happens in the future before it happens, I think.
That's what it looked like. It almost seemed like a video game mechanic thing where it's like, can they rewind things or...
Yeah, there's things going in reverse in this trailer.
I'm not a big Christopher Nolan guy, I gotta say. I don't...
Really?
Yeah, I don't like Interstellar at all. I thought it was very bad. I think Inception's all right. It's not one of my favorites. People ascribe this depth to Chris Nolan that I don't believe exists. He makes these movies that everyone is like, it's so deep. It's multi-layered. No, it isn't. Inception, it's a very simple thing. He's planting an idea in someone's mind. It's not as deep as everyone says it is. And it's not Chris Nolan's fault that everyone does this. But I don't really like him.
Nick! I find this so very surprising. I would have thought you would have been a huge Christopher Nolan fan.
Nope. I like The Dark Knight. That's a great movie. And anyone who says differently is probably just trying to get attention. But,
you know, I actually like Batman Begins more than The Dark Knight.
I like the first half of Batman Begins. I don't like it so much once he's actually Batman.
Nick, I can't believe you don't like Interstellar. Interstellar's in my top 10 of all time.
Really?
It's in my top 10.
I think it deserves that.
It's so good.
That was one of the movies where I saw it in the theater and I was mad that I paid money to see it when I left.
That I can't believe I'm hearing these words. Nick, that's insanity. So you're not excited about Tenet at all?
No. I don't know if I'll even watch it.
Oh my goodness.
I haven't seen Dunkirk.
Dunkirk is good. It's a slow burn, but it's good.
I like World War II movies, so maybe I'll watch that one eventually, but yeah, I don't know.
I would say go see Dunkirk, because it's different than all of his other movies, for sure.
Maybe I'll watch that one. But Tenet, eh.
Well, I'm soup-dupe excited, so I'll let you know how it is when I actually go, because I'm going to see that in the theater. I might see that on opening night.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people will enjoy it and tell me that it's very deep and smart, when in fact it probably will be pretty straightforward.
Oh, Nick.
I'm just messing with you. I really don't care for Chris Nolan, though. I like The Prestige. I like that one.
Next, we have a trailer for something called Downhill.
This was a Will Ferrell, Julia Louis-Dreyfus movie. It looked more dramatic. It looked like an indie movie will be a drama movie, but it'll be slightly funny. That's the vibe that I got from this one. Like, they're at a ski resort and there's an avalanche and Will Ferrell runs away instead of protecting them, and then it's really tense between them, and I don't know. Some of it looks pretty funny. I love Will Ferrell, but I don't know. It could be too melodramatic. I have no clue. I didn't get a good idea of the tone.
Yeah, I just kind of skipped through the trailer just because it's not... I wasn't interested, really. It's got Tormund in it from Game of Thrones.
And Miranda Otto, Eowyn.
Eowyn, yeah, exactly. I'm not like a big Will Ferrell fan, so not super interested. Probably won't see this. I'm also not a Julia Louis-Dreyfus fan. I actually don't like Seinfeld. I don't like this show.
I like Seinfeld, but I'm not super defensive of it either.
So this movie comes out on Valentine's Day.
Oh, I didn't even see that. Yeah, I don't know. I'll probably watch this one at some point, streaming on something. Some movies that are coming out, like, that I haven't seen because I don't go to theater ever, I'll just buy when they come out if I know they're good. Like, I'm going to buy Jojo Rabbit as soon as it comes out because Taika can do no wrong. This one I'll probably wait until it's on Netflix or something.
The fact that it has Eowyn in it, though, just makes me want to watch Return of the King.
Yeah, she's pretty cool in Return of the King.
Yeah, she really is. All right, so that does it for all those new trailers that came out this past week. And we'll have the links for all those in the show notes, of course, if you want to see those.
All right, so last week we posted the questions times on Instagram, and we got a bunch of good responses. So the questions, to refresh everyone's memory, the first question was, if you could inherit any Disney princess castle, which one would it be? The second question was, what food in a movie or TV show could you not stop thinking about / want to eat? And number three was, which movie or TV character would you want to be friends with in real life? And we got a bunch of good fun responses again. The first one is from Jess, my girlfriend who lives in my house. And her answer was Belle / Beast's castle for Dat Library and a kitchen that makes, number two, all the food from the Be Our Guest scene.
That's actually what Aaron said too. She's like, that library.
Oh, see, Jess and Aaron can live in the Beauty and the Beast castle and hang out in the library. And then she said, what is the gray stuff? Dunno, but apparently it's delicious. And then her answer for who she wants to hang out with is the Parks and Rec crew, which is a fantastic answer.
That is such a good answer.
She reminds me a lot of April already from Parks and Recreation, so she'd fit in there. And then Jay, friend of the show Jay, he only answered the food question. His answer was, for the food question, I'd have to go with a Cubano from the movie Chef. Ever since I saw it, I wanted to try one. That's actually in my top two sandwiches. My favorite two sandwiches are the Reuben sandwich and the Cubano. So I'm with you there, Jay.
You know what Aaron said? She said that the sandwich that Adam Sandler makes in Spanglish with the fried egg.
Oh, I haven't seen Spanglish.
I didn't either, but I have watched that scene, and it is a very good-looking sandwich that he makes in that movie.
That's a P.T. Anderson movie, and I haven't seen it. I should probably see it. Sheila the Tuba, friend of the show, her answer was the castle in Tangled. The security seems a bit lax, but those views are killer. Number two, I'm assuming Food Network shows don't count, so I'm going to agree with you guys on Harry Potter. The variety and quantity makes for a very attractive display. And her friend that she chose was Ripley in Alien / Aliens. Why didn't I think of that? That's awesome. I think I'd probably, if I met Sigourney Weaver, not even just Ripley, I'd probably be one of the few instances where I'd be sort of starstruck because it's Ripley.
Yeah, I would definitely be starstruck too. And I actually loved her narration for Planet Earth, the first one. Because, I mean, David Attenborough, obviously we love him, but Sigourney Weaver's narration for the American version, so good.
You can't go wrong with either one of them.
You cannot.
When I'm watching a nature documentary, though, I'm going to really want Attenborough because that's just sort of the default. But yeah, if you're going to get someone else, Sigourney Weaver. Charlie, a friend of the show, said Princess Tiana's Palace Restaurant in New Orleans. He'd play the tuba in the jazz band with the gator.
That's such a Charlie answer.
Yeah, it's the most Charlie answer I could imagine. And his food was one that we have discussed before, and it was the giant oatmeal cream pie from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
These things stick out in our minds, don't they?
Yeah, it's just certain things get put into your brain, and they just live there forever, no matter how old you are or what happens in between.
I think it's called Inception.
I think so, too. And it's ripped off from a Scrooge McDuck comic. His answer for number three is Jack Burton, Wang Chi, and Egg Shen from Big Trouble in Little China, which is one of my favorite Kurt Russell movies, so also a good answer. Have you seen that?
I have not.
It's ridiculous. It's so weird. It's one of the weirdest movies ever, and you should watch it.
I need to watch it.
Yeah, Big Trouble in Little China. I just like Kurt Russell, so, and I like all of the John Carpenter, Kurt Russell movies that they made together. And then he said he's pretty sure Tiana's Palace is the only princess castle, in air quotes, that can generate revenue. Missy, our friend Missy, said Aurora's Castle, and that was from Sleeping Beauty. I don't remember what that one looked like.
I love the art style. If you go back and watch that Sleeping Beauty, I forget the guy's name. They talk about him in the Imagineering story, but the guy that did the original art for it, I love his style, and that's a really beautiful castle. It's got a nice, really nice view.
Well, it's probably a good choice then. And she said her food is, she agreed with both of us and chose the food from Hook. She said it looks like it might taste like marshmallow or Play-Doh, and I want to know which one.
I mean, don't we all want to know?
And she wants to be friends with Rex the clone from Clone Wars. He's a good dude, so that's a good answer there.
Yeah, that's a solid answer.
And then Bridget, a friend of the show, said she wants Belle's Castle because it gets newly renovated after the beast changes back to a human, so it auto-replenishes, basically.
That's actually a fantastic reason.
And then she said, for the food, every time I watch a Studio Ghibli movie, I want to eat whatever food they're showing, especially the ramen, which my stomach actually growled when I read that. And then she wants to be friends with Fred and George Weasley, because if you aren't their friends, you're their enemies.
They would be a good hang, I feel like, although you might get a puking pasty slipped into your mouth or something.
Yeah, they might pull pranks on you.
Yeah.
A lot of people saying Beauty and the Beast, because Steph, our friend Steph from the Seeing Double podcast, Steph and Brad from Seeing Double podcast both commented, so I'm going to read theirs together. So Steph said, the Beast's castle, while they're still enchanted because they're far less creepy in appliance form. And then she said, and since Marvel's a Disney property, she would love to inherit the Avengers compound from Princess Tony Stark. And Brad agreed with me, and he said the castle from Brave. So those are their house answers. I gotta say, the castle from Brave, that's the one. Me and Brad are gonna live there and rule Scotland.
Do you feel like there's not enough insulation in that castle?
Oh yeah, we'd be cold, but that's why you have those giant Scottish fireplaces all over and wear like big bear cloaks. And then for the food, Steph said everything in the Great British Bake Off. Does that count? Hey man, everything counts. And her second answer was Liz Lemon's night cheese.
That's a nice sponge. That's she likes a really good sponge.
Working on my night cheese. And then Brad couldn't think of a food, but his friend that he wanted to make was Shay from Orphan Black or Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica. And I know that he just picked Shay because I know he's a giant crush on that actress.
Who's the actress that plays Starbuck?
That is Katie Sackhoff.
I'm going to say something real controversial here. I don't think she's a good actress.
She's a TV actress.
I don't even think she's a good TV actress.
Fair enough. I don't really have a strong opinion. I like Battlestar Galactica and I like Starbuck. And then Steph's friend answers were the Orphan Black clones and the Scooby Gang in Buffy and Fred and Carrie from Portlandia. The Scooby Gang and Buffy would be fun to be friends with, but I think I'd be killed by a vampire if I knew them. The Orphan Black clones are another good hang, but you'd also always be in danger. So Fred and Carrie from Portlandia is probably the best answer.
It's such a good answer. I love Portlandia. I think it's hilarious.
I mean, Steph and me are basically Fred and Carrie already. Like, that's a pretty similar relationship that we have. So she already has that one.
Well, we will post this week's questions times on the social medias, so you'll be able to send us your answers, and we do hope that you will, because we think they're funny, and we would like to read them on the show. So if you want to send those to us, you can reach us on Instagram, at @trailerblazerspodcast. And then on Gmail, if you want to email us, that's going to be trailerblazerspod@gmail.com.
You can go on Twitter and follow us at @trailer_blazers. The only thing really that goes onto Twitter is Podbean automatically updates when a new episode is posted. So if you use Twitter a lot, it's a good way to be notified that a new episode is posted.
And I tell you what, if you're on that Apple Podcast, and that's where you get the show, if you leave us a 5-star rating, you will have good luck coming your way. But if you don't forward this email on to 5 friends, you're going to have bad luck. But I tell you, if you want this show to gain traction, I mean, not that you care, but if you do, just leave us a 5-star rating. And if everyone that does that, we're going to send you a $10 gift certificate to nowhere.
To Funko Land.
To Funko Land. And I hope you enjoy.
All right, folks, that does it for this section of the show. But stick around, because we've still got the video game quarter portion of the show coming up. Until then, I am Ben, and I am the Jellicle Choice host of this podcast. Happy Trailsers.
I am Nick, and I'm like a secret metaphor for something. Why can't I figure out what it is? Happy Trailsers.
Welcome back to the video game quarter portion of the show.
Hello, Ben. Welcome to the video game portion.
Here we talk about video games.
And we use slightly different voices sometimes in this one.
We do. We didn't have time for this last week, but the Video Game Awards 2019 came out, and they do a lot of announcements on this show. I guess you could call it a show.
Yeah, it's probably next up next to E3 for the most reveals that I've seen this year, at least.
Yeah, probably the biggest being the new Xbox console.
Yeah, the new Xbox console, the Series X, was reviewed, and it looks like a little mini refrigerator.
you know, I've been playing on the PlayStation 4 for forever, but now that I've got the Google Stadia, I don't know that I'm really interested in getting another console.
I know I'll end up with it eventually. Like, I end up with them. I have all of them, and I end up with them at some point or another. So, but I just got an Xbox One X like a year ago, so I don't think I'll be buying a Series X for at least a generation.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be pretty... They're going to have two tiers of this, from what I understand, like a cheaper version and then a premium version.
Yeah, I don't know. Xbox has been... I like the controller better for Xbox. I hate the PlayStation controller, even though they have way better exclusive games, which I see a lot of people that like Xbox being like, oh no, Xbox has the games. No, it doesn't. Like, I prefer to use the Xbox, but the PlayStation exclusive games are always better. They have way more games.
They are much better. That is for ding dang sure. So, I don't know what's going to come out launch for this, but I believe the launch is it Christmas time next year?
Yep, which is a lot earlier than I expected it to be.
Yeah, me too. So, we'll see, you know, how much people are clamoring for that. But we also got a look at a very strange trailer for Hellblade 2, Senua's Saga.
Yes, the first game I didn't play. I think it's about, like, Pictish warriors or something. I don't really know, but it looks cool. It looks like old Celtic battle with, like, creatures and Celtic folklore monsters. There was a big giant in this trailer, and it looked pretty cool.
Yeah, it looked like the setting that they're in looks like Iceland to me. But there is the main character in the trailer, this woman with face paint and stuff. The facial animation on this. Now, it's not. I don't know if it's in game, but the animation on this face looked. Looked real to me.
Yeah, it did. I'm hoping that this. I should probably play the first one. I was going to say, I'm hoping that this one is accessible if you haven't played the first one, but I should just probably play it and see if I like it, and then I'll know if I want to play this one.
I can't get over the mouth movements of that video, man. The mouth movements have... In computer animation, mouth movements have come a long way.
I watch a lot of Corridor Digital videos on YouTube. It's a channel on YouTube, and they always do VFX breakdown, and one of the guys, Nico, is really, really smart, and he knows about all this VFX stuff, and he says that mouths always look bad because of the way the upper lip moves, and it shouldn't move as much as it usually ends up moving in these, like when they do a CGI mouth or something. He says the upper lip moves too much, and I've started to watch things and notice that that's pretty much fully accurate.
Which is sort of weird to hear you say that, because when you watch Tron Legacy, the young Jeff Bridges, or Clue, in that movie does not look good. And his upper lip looks very stiff. And so it's like, I don't know if we've kind of gone from a stiff upper lip to a very overly animated one.
Well, you are very British in your ancestry, so you're supposed to have a stiff upper lip. They did an episode of Corridor Digital VFX Artist Reacts where they did talk about Tron Legacy, which I should probably just link you. And because they were pretty kind about it. For being as old as the movie is, it's like 10 years old or something at this point, and they were like, oh, that's pretty good for 10 years ago. And then they run through VFX, and they give constructive criticism. It's not like negative reactions to things to make fun of them, and sometimes they bring in other experts. It's a really good channel on YouTube, not to advertise them, just they're a very good channel and people should check them out.
Yeah, I've seen a few videos from them, and it is good. They have some good videos. Then we have a trailer for Bravely Default 2 for the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, I never heard of Bravely Default 1.
So I never played it because I've sworn off JRPGs. Hate me, come at me, I don't care. Bravely Default 2, the art looks great. I really love the art style, but I'll never play this because, guys, once we got Mass Effect and Oblivion and Skyrim, why would you play a JRPG? Like, why do you want to grind and have random encounters? I don't want to do this.
Jess likes a lot of JRPGs, but I think she does that because she can play it while doing something else. So she'll be on her computer doing something and just sort of playing one of these on the side at the same time.
to me, that's a terrible thing, because, like, couldn't you say the same thing about, like, a mobile game, you know?
Well, I said the same thing earlier about the movie Bumblebee.
Yeah, it's just, that to me, just, all that translates to is it's not very engaging.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I had the problem where I played Red Dead Redemption 2, and I tried to play games after that, and I was like, why am I playing something that isn't as good as that? Like, everything else seemed worse, so I had to play a completely different game type in order to break out of that mindset.
Next, we have a game called Godfall. Tell me about this game.
This is the first PlayStation 5 exclusive game that I believe is going to be a launch title with the PlayStation 5, and it looks like some sort of fantasy third-person game. So you always get my attention with that third-person mode, but I don't know. You don't get a sense of what the game is about from this little trailer, because it's just a teaser, so they could have a launch title.
Yeah, I really haven't heard much of a launch lineup for PlayStation 5 or Xbox.
No, neither one. I think Senua's Saga might come out with Xbox, and then I think Godfall is the PlayStation launch title exclusive.
Then next we have Prologue.
Yeah, this was just a really short teaser from the creators of PlayerUnknown's Battleground, and all it was like a camera looking around in a forest, and then it said Prologue.
Now, did it didn't have any jank to it to give you a true sense of what the game's going to be like?
No, this is a case of them depending on selling it with the studio, because it said from the makers of PlayerUnknown Battleground, so I'm imagining it's going to be an online game.
You mean a janky online game?
I've never played PlayerUnknown, so... is it janky?
If someone asks you, what do you think about it? Janky is the word to describe it.
So yeah, this is probably a janky new IP from PlayerUnknown Battleground people, whose great studio I don't know the name of.
That's great. Next we have Ruined King. This is League of Legends, which I've never played and really don't know anything about.
I've never played it either. I know my friend Brad, who is on the Seeing Double podcast, plays League of Legends, and some other friends of mine play it, and they've made cosplays from it that have looked really cool, but I don't it's another online game. I'm not a big online game guy, so they'll be excited about this.
Yeah, Dragon Con, if you don't know what the costume is, it's usually anime or League of Legends.
That's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah. Now, a game that both you and I are interested in, are probably, I imagine, both going to end up buying... is Ghost of Tsushima.
I definitely can't wait for this. It's third person. It looks like it has a stealth element.
Yeah, you're speaking my language, man, since Splinter Cell, you know, I'm a huge Splinter Cell fan. So the third person stealth action, and then also this game is just beautiful with that Japanese fall aesthetic, you know. It's like leaves blowing, the sound of wind, yellow trees.
It has all those like samurai armor things.
Yes.
The aesthetic is just great. It looks cool. It looks fun. Like I said, I love stealth games, and this looks to have... Because it's called Ghost, you know, Ghost of Tsushima, so I think there's a stealth element to it, which I love a good stealth game. That's why we both love Splinter Cell.
It makes me sort of think of the old Tenchu stealth assassin from the original PlayStation.
I remember that, but I never played it.
It was pretty fun. So, definitely looking forward to this one. Even though it is super violent, which I'm not into, I still want to play it.
The next one that we have is the Final Fantasy VII Remake, which we've discussed before. They just have a new trailer because it's getting closer to launch. This one was more of a cinematic trailer than a gameplay trailer. Although, for being a remake of a JRPG, I don't think it has random encounters or like turn-based fighting. From what it looks like, it's you control the one character and... Maybe a little more like Mass Effect 2, almost, where you can send squadmates to do things? I'm not sure.
I think so. I think from what we've seen, though, the mechanic looks like it works pretty well, and the people who've tried it, like it shows and stuff, say it works really well. So that's pretty cool. Now, this is not it's not the full game remade. It's like the first section of the game, from what I understand.
Oh,
so,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so it's not the whole game. Hmm. So I imagine, depending on how this sells, which I think it's going to sell pretty well.
I think it's going to be gigantic.
Yeah. So they'll make the rest of it, I'm sure. So
next up, we have Cyberpunk 2077 Behind the Music, which is just a little video they put out about the different artists contributing to the soundtrack for Cyberpunk.
Did you recognize any of the artists?
I did not.
I didn't even see a list, so I don't know.
It's probably going to have some cool synth music in it at some point.
Retrowave, synthwave, I love all that. I even like vaporwave, so I'll probably be into that. I'll probably listen to the soundtrack on Spotify a bunch.
There's no game that I can think of that I want to play more than I want to play Cyberpunk 2077 right now.
Same. Next we have something called Gears Tactics.
Yeah, this was like a top-down Gears of War RTS almost.
I'm not into Gears. I have some friends that love it. They're super into it, but just the big meathead, rah-rah, I'm not into. But, I'm glad this is coming out. If you want more Gears, the Gears fans, man, here's something for you. I like that.
I have the exact same opinion. So let's move on to The Wolf Among Us 2. This is a Telltale game, and Telltale famously went under or closed down a couple years ago, and then it was brought back from the dead. And they started reviving these projects.
Who owns the studio now?
I am not sure, but they brought it back from the dead. I think they brought back some of the same people. The thing is that they're reviving the canceled projects, which people were excited for. So I think it has a built-in loyalty of people who will be happy that the studio is doing what they wanted them to do and in bringing back these things that they thought they just weren't going to get.
I never played the first one.
I never played it. I don't like Telltale games. I don't react fast enough when I'm doing things to play those games that are basically like long quick time events. They stress me out. I don't enjoy them. Jess plays them. She's really into Telltale, so I've actually seen The Wolf Among Us played out entirely because I was sitting on the couch while she played it. So, nice. You know, it's like sort of dark fairy tale stuff, like Grimm Brother fairy tale stuff that has a dark sort of twist to it. I wasn't into it, but...
And then, finally, we have Fast and Furious Crossroads, a game coming out next year.
I can't believe it took this long to make a Fast and the Furious game.
Really strange. I mean, I maybe there's some Fast and Furious mobile games out there, but this is actually coming to console.
Yeah, and it looked like it had the cast from the movies doing the voices and stuff.
Is this relevant? I don't know.
That's the first thing I thought of. Literally, word for word, I was like, is this relevant?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who this was made for, who's going to play this. I don't know.
They keep making those movies, so the market has to be substantial.
Yeah, I guess if this comes out on Steam and it goes on sale for like $3.99, maybe people will buy it.
There might be a vast Fast and the Furious fan base that's been clamoring for this, but if there are, I don't know any of them.
What an evolution, that movie series. What an evolution.
That's the other thing I was thinking. Is like, imagine watching the first Fast and the Furious, a movie about street racing, and then watching, how many are there, 9, 8? Imagine going from the first one to the eighth one, where they're like flying helicopters underwater, and like a tank shoots out like smaller tanks that then turn into jets.
I imagine if you took that movie in a time machine back to the past, somebody would be like, "What? This doesn't look anything like the first one. This is a completely different series here."
Yeah, The Fast and the Furious is a very strange franchise.
A very strange franchise that has raked in a lot of dough.
It's probably one of those ones that does well internationally because it's
a visual
spectacle, yeah. So it probably does well in China, which probably explains. But I don't know that that will transfer to video game money.
All right, so are you playing anything right now, Nick?
I just beat Jedi Fallen Order, and I haven't started anything new.
I am trying to beat. I'm very close to going to Ganon's the Hyrule Castle to defeat Ganon in Breath of the Wild. So as soon as I beat that, really what I want to play is BattleTech. I want to buy all the expansions or the season pass for BattleTech and play that on my computer. That's kind of what I'm in the mood for. So I don't know. We'll see.
Jess just bought a Switch, so I think I'll be able to play some of the Switch games now. So I definitely want to play Breath of the Wild as well. I want to play Untitled Goose Game and others, probably. Pokemon.
Yeah, Switch is great, man. I love my Switch.
Yeah, we got the new one with the better battery life.
Nice.
We got one of those, and it's, I think, coming on Tuesday.
Cool. All right, well, we'll probably have some video game stuff to talk about next week. We'll see. I don't know. It's Christmas time, so maybe you're playing a game right now, and you want to write us and tell us about it, about how much you like it or hate it.
Yeah, let us know what you're playing.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, definitely let us know what you're playing. We'll read it out on the show. That really does it for this episode of Trailer Blazers.
Trailer Blazers.
I'm Ben Moon, and I am an ancient samurai standing in blowing leaves.
I am Nick Kelly, and I am a wolf among you, too.
Happy Trailsers.
Happy Trailsers.
I would like to see the
Megadon.